Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to 10 Dozen Minutes of Roast Beast with Jake and Mr. Skullhead. I'm Mr. Skullhead, and Jake is on the line.
You been eating roast beast, Mr. Skullhead?
I have become a roast beast today. I'm real fucking dumb. I put sunscreen on my body from about the shoulders up. And, you know, with careful attention to the face and head, thankfully, but... So just everything from, like, my tattoo down to my waistline on my back is just charbroiled.
Wait, but isn't your tattoo a tramp stamp? So that's not very much of an area at all.
Well, if you consider, like, the area right below my neck to be trampy, then yes.
Well, I mean, really, your whole body is trampy.
My whole body is a trampy wonderland. Shout outs to Trampy Smurf if she's listening.
If you lost some weight, it would be a trampoline.
Ho ho! Better to be a trampoline than a gangsta-lean.
I guess that's probably true, because what the fuck is that even?
Exactly.
I was introduced to the meme, I'm 12 years old and what is this?
Yeah. I don't know if I'm familiar with that.
I like it. I'm 12 and what is this? It's a fun thing to say. In a variety of different circumstances. How you been, Mr. S?
Let's see. Major events in my life in the past couple of days. Saw Shrek the 4th at the drive-in, along with Iron Man 2 for a second time. And you know what? Shrek 4 was actually pretty good.
Wow, you see so few movies, and you saw Iron Man 2 twice?
Yeah, the drive-in does 3 movies for... the price of one. We didn't stay for the last one because it starts at like 1:30 in the morning, but we watched 2 of them. That is just fucking cool. It's like
going to the drive-in.
Yeah, because they don't care what you pack in, so you can get your grill and your cooler full of beer and you know, hang out with people and tailgate, kind of waiting for the movies to start and just gonna hang out under
so
the stars.
They do not explicitly forbid you to take booze in to this drive-in.
Nope, nor do they, like, do any kind of checking of cars or backpacks or anything at all.
Wow, so you could take in booze and underage girls to drink it.
Uh-huh, and the weed.
Oh. Is it the kind of drive-in where they, surprised to see this. I mean, not surprised, because it was like, you know, I don't know if that counts as surprise or not, but, like, the modern drive-in that I've been to, they do the thing where the sound is broadcast via FM, so you just listen to it on your car stereo, instead of having, like, some 1950s-looking speaker box hanging in your shit.
Yeah, we do that. That's what they do, yeah.
Well, cool. High-tech is what that seems like.
So there was that, and then yesterday Ollie pooped in the bathtub. That was rad.
Blood on the plow.
Poop in the bathtub and the silver spoon. Little boy blue and the man on the moon. Yeah, so fun. What you been up to?
I don't know. I once had a girl I was dating poop in the bathtub.
Really?
Yeah.
How did that work?
Like, passed out drunk. It was pretty gross. Pretty gross.
See, at least, you got to count the blessings there. He was naked already, you know. He was in water, so it didn't really smell. And it was...
And plus, you could feed it to the weird coprophage version of Egger from Men in Black.
Yeah, poop, absolutely.
Who exhorts, bring me poop in water. More.
Exactly. And it was more human poop than the weird sludge that usually he poops. So it was great. It was fine. Just scooped it out. The toilet's right there. You just throw it right in there. Is that
you
enough
start
detail?
Doing it that way all the time.
Yeah. If we had been thinking, as soon as he started pooping, we should have taken him out and put him on his little like practice toilet that he hasn't really used yet.
Hmm. This is a fantastic story, Mr. Skullhead. This is exactly what I hoped would happen when you became a dad.
I was going to say, do you want me to provide more detail, like colors, textures, anything?
With all of my health problems, I get a wide variety of color and textures in my own pooping experience, so probably going to be okay. I don't really have a lot of health problems. I was just making that up because it sounded funny. It sounded funny in my head.
I heard you had 99 health problems.
You what?
I heard you had 99 health problems, but none of them were particularly a bitch to deal with.
Yeah. It's been pretty quiet. Super busy working on item of the month stuff because I'm leaving a couple days before the end of the month, and that's a little frustrating. But luckily, it's a slow. It's a simple, straightforward item of the month this month. Oh wait. I don't know where I keep thinking that our reserves are going to fail us. Prove to actually be reserves that we've been drawing on for 5 years, and that eventually they'll be depleted, and we'll need to find some new reservoir. Hopefully one with fewer dogs in it. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I don't know. We have more fucking crazy, sprawling-ass item of the month ideas than we have months to do them. Because we're fucking crazy. Crazy awesome.
I think that, at least from my perspective, this Familiar of the Month seems like it's been less work than some. But I think it's because all the work... I think I did almost all of the work for my part a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, all the bulk of the work for this, I feel like, is, I mean, not to diminish our contribution, because, you know, the work that you did was work that none of us could have. But it's like all me and Chris just coding the shit out of 50 shits.
Oh yeah, I mean, instead of having three giant stories to write, I had things
bunch
to conceive
of. Bunch of one-liners.
Yeah, like, well over 100 of them, but still.
Well over 100.
More quippy.
You heard it here, folks, and that was for one of your parts. Jesus. I'm gonna have some more writing for you to do. I'm gonna have a lot more gaps for you to fill in on my stuff, because you're better at making fun of minorities than I am.
Word.
Yeah. Now, it's not so much making fun of minorities as having a character that is going to have a significant amount of dialogue. Actually, a couple. One of them that's going to have a significant amount of really, like, stereotypical nerd dialogue, and one who is going to have a lot of a sort of a Jamaican patois, which, you know, you are much better at capturing that kind of thing than I am. I can do, like, a sentence at a time, but if it requires an actual corpus, then you are my... You're a giant in that field. You're my corpus colossus, as I like to say.
Mm. Your patois paisan.
Yeah, neuroscience and Greek mythology joke.
Mm.
I don't know what it was. A colossus Greek?
He has the us at the end, which means it's more Roman.
Oh yeah.
Mm. I don't know.
Like Re Romanus.
Yeah.
Re Romanus is just like the king of Rome, right?
Yep.
And everybody loves him. Because if you don't love him, you get executed. And fed to the wolves.
That show would have been way much better.
Would have been way much better?
Would have been way much more better.
Mm-hmm.
If everybody who didn't love Raymond, like, every time he started a fight with his wife, just somebody came in and killed his wife, and then they had to pick a new wife.
Huh.
Not just his
Maybe
wife.
Maybe they would have eventually found a wife that
yeah.
made the show good.
I don't know. Any show that has Ray Romano in it is going to have one significant downside, is in that it has Ray Romano in it.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it depends on how central a character is. Like, I don't really care for Jerry Seinfeld, but Seinfeld was an okay show in spite of him being the main character and being kind of all over it, right? Like, I mean, it was only, in my opinion, an okay show. I would not categorize myself as a fan. But, like, if I was drunk and I was already on the couch and already had some food in front of me and it came on in syndication when I was, like, sitting there back in those days when I actually sat on couches and watched television.
Right, right.
Those days were not that long ago, but, man, seems like a whole different fucking world. No jet setting, no, other things that sound like jet setting that would have been, if not funny, at least the kind of thing that I would say after jet setting. I thought Jap slapping, but wow. There was exactly as much as that of that as there always was. Not like actually slapping Japanese people, but like you know, slapping people in the manner of a Jap. What's the Japanese equivalent of Chinaman? Japanman.
Gaijin.
No, that's what they call us.
Yeah, a foreigner though.
That's like gringo. No, but I'm not saying Chinaman to mean foreigner. I mean Chinaman to mean a man from China.
Oh, I see. I think that was
because I feel like Chinaman is not like like I guess it's offensive, but it doesn't really seem like it should be.
It's not the preferred nomenclature.
Certainly, but I mean, like, I feel like at a time it was right. Like you wouldn't refer to someone as a Negro now, but it is certainly better than like Spade, right? Whereas I feel like Chinaman is less offensive than Chink, though neither of them are appropriate.
Right.
So I mean, to my thinking, that word just sort of it has become a slur. It did not start out as a slur, right? Which to me, like, kind of means it is less of a slur. Not that I would ever use it, but not that I would ever associate with any dirty Asians anyway, so it'll never come up.
And we do prefer that our Asians shower first.
Yeah. They use showers that spray up from the floor, though.
Yeah, and the spray is at an angle so it can clean the vagina completely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's sideways. It's rotated 90 degrees from our own showers, in addition to being rotated 180 degrees. plus, they wash themselves from right to left.
They do. And bottom to top.
Yeah. Is that text actually read bottom to top?
I don't think so.
Yeah, because that seems like it would be really impractical in terms of, like...
But it is
red. I guess not. I mean, I guess if you had a piece of paper with only some text on it and not, you know, not having it be completely full of text, that it would be bottom justified instead of top justified if you actually did read bottom to top. Back to back, bottom to top, the gay zombie jamboree. Every time I say a two-syllable word followed by the word two and then another word, I think of the zombie jamboree.
Yeah, back to back, belly to belly.
Yep, even though I don't really know. Just like anytime I hear X in the two-syllable X,
mm-hmm.
X, two-syllable Y, I think blood on the plow. Even though what I don't feel like that? That's a song that everybody really knows.
Yeah, what song is that?
It's Rain on the Scarecrow, which I mean, it's like John Cougar Mellencamp.
Hmm.
I'm going to look it up.
See, I would think of, I always think of Cats in the Cradle.
Mm-hmm. Rain on the Scarecrow by John Mellencamp. Maybe he was just called... I think he was still John Cougar Mellencamp then.
But yeah, but I think they retconned everything.
Retcon. Unlike everyone else on the internet... two things. Unlike everyone else on the internet, I don't think that there's anything particularly interesting about the KFC Double Down.
Right.
And also, I don't care that Lost ended.
Yep.
I spent like 3 minutes looking for a synopsis just to see what they did, because I kept seeing people being like confused or maybe disappointed. Which, I mean, when people are disappointed on the internet, you know something's up.
Yeah. Well, I was so here I was waiting for the thing to be over and for the definitive word on whether it was worth my time. And now I know that it's either completely awesome and the best possible way to end the series, or completely shit on the entire series, and so it would be a waste of time to get into it. So I'm glad I waited.
Though, Cyber34 writes, apropos of this exact thing, "Dear Scully, you said for someone to tell you whether or not Lost was worth watching after it ended. Well, it just ended yesterday, and I think they did as good a job as you could for a show that spanned that many years and episodes and involved that many mysteries and questions. Wasn't super great or anything, but I don't imagine the ending to Buffy or, say, Star Trek or other long-running series to be the big draw or what you remember about them. But the qual, presumably, itty of the entire show. I mean, I don't... you know, I liked Buffy. I'm glad I watched it. It took a long time to watch. You know, it took me several years to get through it, actually. I'm not I'm not positive that I totally remember what happened in the end.
Spoiler alert, the Willow turns everybody into Slayers and they close the Hellmouth and collapse the whole town of Sunnydale.
Oh, right, the big crater, right. So there was that stupid axe thing, which was referred to as a scythe.
The big shiny chrome ancient weapon. Yeah.
Right. And there's all the potentials.
Yeah. Suddenly become actuals and
including Felicia Day, who in a move completely unprecedented in my own experience got more attractive as she got older.
Hmm.
I don't know what that's all about.
That is true. Buffy, she's like, yeah, that's a kind of a cute girl. And then by Guild, she's I don't know if hot is the word to describe Felicia Day, because that seems kind of cheapening somehow. I don't know. Sexy nerdy?
You feel that she has some sort of... I don't know. Hot Stuff's contention is that she's a little odd-looking in general still, like that she's not conventionally attractive, although I think that she's pretty conventionally attractive. Like, I think getting some money and using it to pay someone to teach her how to do things with her hair, which is what I assume happened. I mean, maybe she came by that knowledge on her own, as many girls seem to do. But in order to identify with her as a nerd at all, I have to assume that she has no idea how to dress herself.
Right, right.
Or style her coiffure. She doesn't know what the word coiffure means. Hmm. And probably how to pronounce it correctly, which is a thing that I do not know. Speaking of pronouncing things, I'm about to be in Germany mispronouncing everything left and right.
Is it going to be a
mispronouncing everything
scenario?
Rechts oder links. Rechts und links. Right. I still think that sausage, the place that sold sausage and cheese, and the sign was WURST and KASE, it being a worst case of scenario.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah. So now we can refer to things, going as badly as it is possible for them to go as a, this is a real sausage cheese scenario. Mm-hmm.
We're going to have to dip into the Tom Johnny for this one.
That's true. The petty cash. Gonna make that catch on. Gonna do it.
Give us, like, 20 more years and we'll have an entire, like, Cockney rhyming slang built of just in-jokes from stupid things that we saw on the internet.
I mean, what's dangerous for us is that our in-jokes enter a certain culture now.
Mm.
I keep forgetting to work on getting a halfway to Assville out there into the vernacular. For those of you who haven't been listening for years, or maybe those of you who are annoyed that in my old age I keep forgetting that I say this every week, I've always hated the phrase BFE, meaning the middle of nowhere, and so I tried to get everyone to adopt the phrase halfway to Assville to mean the same thing.
I tend to use South Zimbabwe.
Yeah. West buttfuck.
West.
There's always a cardinal direction in those, well, except for BFE, which there's just vulgarity and sort of geographical malapropism.
Because isn't it butt-fuck Egypt? Not like butt-fucking Egypt?
Egypt, butt-fucking Egypt. Yeah, I don't know. That's the other thing, is there's no consistency in the interpretation of that. Bum-fucked Egypt? Bum-fuck? Yeah, maybe it's bumfuck Egypt, because you can say, like, it's out in bumfuck. Which, again, too vulgar. Halfway to Assville, you could say that. You can say ass, right? Like, if you're like a high school kid, can you say ass and your parents don't get angry?
I couldn't.
I mean, I could say fuck and my parents wouldn't get angry. But that's just because my parents were vulgar.
Maybe we should just assume that somewhere... So, like, far from city centers... are where farms are, right? And in a farm, you're going to have a barn, and in that barn there are probably going to be some chickens. And, the furthest edge of the farm is where the barn is. And at the furthest edge of the barn is where the very best chickens are, so maybe they're saying that it's just barn fowl elite.
Where,
BFE.
Yeah. Right. That was a long road.
Well, yeah, that's part of the funny.
Oh yeah, no, okay, right. That the location that you are describing is in itself a shaggy dog.
Exactly.
Something really satisfying about a shaggy dog story. It used to be my favorite joke, the one about the guy making the barbecue furnace out of bricks.
I got a lot of mileage out of that joke too.
Yeah, but I haven't told it in years. I don't find myself telling a lot of jokes here recently, the last few years, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe it's because we have to be funny for a living. It's like a busman's holiday.
You're like, I'm not going to give that away.
Or okay, so maybe BFE means that it would cost a lot to take a bus to the place in question, so it's a bus fare extreme.
Probably.
Maybe
it's far out of city centers is where the guy who wrote Can You Feel the Love Tonight likes to gather his little fight club. And so, like, the bitch fight Elton. Maybe. Like, they can't all be winners.
Right. And really, they can't any be winners. We both failed pretty hard. See, this is why... We have no choice. We have no choice, America, but to adopt halfway to Astville as a way of describing a place that is way far away. You know, even when you get there, the party's going to suck. There's going to be nobody there. Because they just told you about that party so that you wouldn't show up at the cool party. Man, you know what I'm going to have in a few days when I get to Germany? 50 doner kebabs.
Right.
I wonder if you could make a donor kebab banh mi, and then I would just collapse in a singularity of flipping my shit about sandwiches.
So what's in a donor kebab?
So it's on this kind of bread that I can't really describe. It's like some sort of like Turkish style pita bread, but it's kind of like halfway between an English muffin and like the bread that you get. I'm assuming you can get this in the U.S., but I've only had it in Europe, where you get a panini, and the bread is kind of, like, doughy, and then they put it in a thing that, like a George Foreman grill kind of thing to, like, cook it just in time to serve it to you. You know? Whatever kind of bread that is, which may just be a way of preparing bread rather than a type of bread. Yeah, I don't fucking know. And then there's some... See, here's the problem, is that every ingredient in this sandwich is sort of difficult to describe. So then the meat, it's like when you go to a gyro shop, you've got like a, you know, like a big thing of ground lamb on a rotisserie sort of thing, like a spit, like a vertical spit. Who did that song, Gray Sky Morning?
That was Vertical Smile.
Only it's not, or Horizontal Smile, if you're... If it's a happy Asian woman, see, calling back to that. So imagine that shape, a chunk of meat on a spit. Only instead of it being a big loaf of ground lamb, and you know, whatever they put in it to make it stick together like that, it's like a pile of pieces of chicken that are stuck together in a big sort of stack.
Okay.
So they shave some of that off. I think maybe chicken and turkey, or I don't know. Maybe you can also get them with lamb. I don't remember. And then this stuff that's kind of like sauerkraut, but not quite like sauerkraut. It's like if sauerkraut and regular cabbage had a baby, and then sent it to the most delicious school. And then this kind of feta cheese that's different than ordinary feta cheese.
I see your dilemma here.
Yeah, no, I don't really know what any of these things are, and I feel like the fact that they just are things that do not exist, to my knowledge, in our culture, on this side of the pond, which is what world travelers refer to oceans as.
Yeah, pond.
You know, maybe that's why there aren't any places here that sell this delicious sandwich, why it hasn't caught on. So this cheese is like, it's sort of like a spongier, chewier, less crumbly feta.
So probably cheese it's curd, like a, almost. No?
Like a disc on it. It's got some air bubbles in it. It's like Peeps, only made of cheese, say.
Okay.
Then some garlic sauce or yogurt sauce, depending. But yeah, man. Oh God, I'm kind of hungry, and my stomach is growling just thinking about it. My mouth is watering. Hot Stuff's been sending me pictures of like mist shrouded castles, making me glad that I decided to actually go, because I was really on the fence about it, and he talked me into it. And if I were not going, and I were seeing his accounts of eating doner kebabs and his pictures of fucking mist shrouded castles, I would be pretty sad that I wasn't going. One thing that I will miss from my previous experience overseas was buying things using fucking gold coins, because they don't use those in Germany. They use boring ass euros.
It makes me sad that some of the best currencies, like the ones that I grew up reading about and going, oh, what a cool name for currency, aren't really around anymore. Like Deutschmarks, Lira, Kroners, Zlotys, or Zlotys is the Polish currency, I guess. Rubles are on their way out. Yeah. It's sad.
Francs.
Nah, that's not sad.
You could use Deutschmarks to buy some francs.
Mm-hmm.
And use pesos to buy some beans.
Is that the
they still have pesos, right? Or...
yeah. Was that a joke of like a Mexican as beaner joke there that they're trying to slip in under the radar?
No, it was... okay, associating Mexicans with beans is not drawing attention to one particular derogatory term for Mexicans. It's just, like...
So you're saying you embrace like all derogatory terms
for
Mexicans?
Or a schnitzel joke about Germany or a German is the equivalent of making a bean joke about Mexico.
Okay. So you're saying that you embrace every derogatory term for Mexicans equally, and you weren't trying to favor one.
Yeah, I do. I'm not trying to play favorites.
Okay. Just so long as that's clear.
My record on that matter is spick and span, Mr. Skullhead.
It is indeed.
That was. Although absolutely... I was under the impression that did not actually mean Mexican. Growing up, I thought it was like Puerto Rican or something. Who knows? Where's Mr. Hobrick when you need him? Dedicating a significant portion of our history education as a junior in high school to memorizing slang terms for different races.
Huh, excellent.
That was, I don't know. That guy was kind of an asshole, I think.
So last
he was in favor of the death penalty for any crime committed while in possession of a deadly weapon. So I said, jaywalking with a pocket knife. And,
you were too smart for high school.
I think it was just the ass part of me that was too smart for high school. Man, I'm glad that we don't live in England, where there is a CCTV camera recording everything that you ever do, for the purpose of embarrassing you later in life by playing it on television, while people throw food at you and you're naked.
I'm gonna go ahead and flush the Radio Bugbear questions up to where we got to.
Wait, on what? The
show
what
last week? Unless you don't want me to,
I guess.
I was
going to talk to you about the story in games stuff that we were talking about a couple weeks ago. That a few people are asking us a few things about. Yeah, you can flush them. I've got them up on the screen in case I want
to
read.
Given vaginal blood farts and Salsa Shark's reaction to that podcast, I would suggest we not rehash that argument.
Wait, what?
The podcast or the Thursday show where you guys talked about the whole perspective and cutscene and stuff for like 45 minutes.
What's your opinion? I want to know how you feel about it, because I feel like you've got a different but certainly equally valid and probably more educated than mine, at least, perspective, point of view. Did you guys talk about it and freak out? Did VBF make poop jokes?
A little bit. Just a little bit. It was so hard for them because I feel like I've seen that cutscene at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been in the build
for a long time.
Okay, so yeah, so I have seen that cutscene and may have lagged a second behind and wait, what's going on? But not substantially, and I felt like that was more my fault than the cutscene's fault. So I don't have a problem with it. I feel like the way that it is fine.
Well, but it's not. It is not so much the one in question. Although we figured out kind of an awesome, I think, way of dealing with that. A way of sort of not really changing it that much, but fixing it in a way that is also funny and really adds something to it.
Hmm.
But my take is that I want to be able to show a cutscene later in the game of like the main bad guy, say, talking to one of his lieutenants. In a way that is ominous and foreshadowing, and that there's no way that the player's character, right? I keep fucking this up, right? That there's no way that, because when I'm talking about video games, I usually talk about the player as the character, right? But the person playing the game, I want the person playing the game to be able to know stuff that the character doesn't know, because I think that that's important, right?
Sure.
And I guess just not, how do you feel about that in general? Like, do you assume that everything has an omniscient narrator?
Once they tell me something that none of the characters would know, sure.
And I mean, how explicit do they need to be in order to do that?
I don't think they need to really be at all. Like, especially in a video game cutscene. Like, if I'm playing through, like, God of War, and I see a cutscene that's like Zeus and Hera making a deal to fuck Kratos over behind his back. Even though I'm playing as Kratos, I understand that that scene is directed at me, the player.
Well, so I think the argument would be that that doesn't actually violate the thing that we are violating, because in the beginning of the game, there is a voiceover that establishes that there is a narrator.
Yeah, I just don't think that's necessary. I mean, most of the weird, twitchy, modern novels that I've been reading don't care about stuff like that.
Well, so I think I'm just, you know, curious as to whether, like, I guess my thing is not, like, I think it is established that it would be okay for us to do that, right?
Yeah.
You know, and what I keep coming back to is, like, the music, right? Like, there is a bunch of stuff that would be okay if we did it with the music, but it would bother me, and so 1 out of every 100 people who care about shit like that, it would also bother. Mm. And so would we be better off, you know, just making some marginal allowances that would then not piss those people off? Like, or not, you know, I don't mean piss them off, but just that wouldn't bother them, right? Like, and in most things, in the things that I personally care about, I think it is definitely worth going to some effort to stop that from happening. But it's just like, I don't know, you know, I was thinking it was his theater background that made Hot Stuff particularly sensitive to this, and there definitely seemed to be a handful of nerds, like, you know, and by nerds I just mean our players, who agree with him and are like, you know, like I Club You, for instance, is saying it's, for novels and movies, having 2 or more point of views is okay because the scenes are long enough that it's not jarring to suddenly switch. In short stories and shorts, which cutscenes are, it is absolutely jarring when the perspective switches after a minute or so without a section break. Not that text overs are awesome storytelling, but just because you don't perceive it doesn't mean it doesn't matter. Well, no, I mean, I definitely agree that me not perceiving it doesn't mean it doesn't matter. His suggestion is that if there's, or rather, her. Is I Club You a girl?
Yes.
I say, my suggestion is that if there's a way to split up the 2 point of views into separate cutscenes with an intermission of something else, well, that's what usually works in our stories. I mean, it's going to have to, because one of them takes place in the past and one of them takes place in the present, so they need to be split up somehow. So, you know, that's a thing. Because otherwise it just doesn't make sense. Because if you were there and saw the thing that was happening in the first cutscene, your character would put a stop to it, presumably.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's the nature of that intermission. Hot Stuff contends that Star Wars wouldn't make any sense without the opening crawl. That if you did not establish in the beginning that there was a narrator,
mm-hmm.
even though you never touch that narrator again, that suddenly it panning to a thing where there are no characters in common with the first thing wouldn't make any sense. I'm kind of curious about, like, I mean, are all plays assumed to have a narrator? I mean, I feel like this is a thing that only bothers people who've, like, studied theater, Right. And I mean, I'm not sure. It's one of those things, like, you know, when you're going to school to get like a music degree, right, you learn all of these rules, and the reason that you learn them is so that you can go out and break them in interesting ways, right? Like, they're not like, you know, it's like, it would be like taking a class and they're like, all right, kids, every song is verse, chorus, verse, bridge, verse, chorus, or whatever, right?
2 minutes and 44 seconds long.
Yeah. I don't know. Lord Derby writes, also, World of Warcraft has a story to it, but it's like a bad pulp fantasy novel. It's only there to give some semblance of narrative justification for what you're doing. I disagree with that. Chris Metzen, who's like the story guy, he's like a smart dude, and he cares about what he's doing. Like, I'm not saying that I want to read a novel that he wrote, right? I'm not saying that, well, I mean, I do sometimes sit and read background information for the lore of World of Warcraft because I'm interested in stuff like that, right? But it's definitely not, it is definitely meant to be art, right? It is meant to not just be a token nod to giving you some context. It is meant to give you an actual rich context that you can care about if you want to. Right, and it is very much possible to do that. Like, Hot Stuff was way more into it than I was, but I like that it's there, you know, and I like that there's some internal consistency. There are very few instances that you will find of places where they really significantly retconned anything. There were a few. I mean, there were a few things that just weren't going to work. I mean, decisions that were made for one of the first couple of World of Warcraft games, you know, which were real-time strategy games, didn't need a whole lot of story. But even then, I mean, you kind of care about the story. More so in the third one, because there's a lot more narrative going on. I mean, like, one of the few games that I actually remember the plot of is Warcraft 3, because it was pretty cool. You know, it was like, you slowly watch this guy go nuts and turn evil, and then you, like, the way that they sort of transition you into playing another race in the campaign is that you're following the same dude who's now working for those guys, right? Like, I don't know. Maybe it's ham-fisted. Maybe the story of all Blizzard games sucks, but I kind of like them. Story of Diablo is cool. That dude at the end is all like, yeah, I'm taking this crystal. I'm shoving it in my chest. Bet you weren't expecting that. It's like, no, I had no reason to even believe that that would be possible. It's like some Deus Ex Machina sad ending shit. Lord Derby says, there is a way to slow down an RTS game to 1/4 of its normal rate. It is generally called LSD, though some refer to it as acid. I have to imagine that is not what acid does, and that is not certainly what it would do to me. I would be freaking out so much that I would not care how fast StarCraft II was running.
You want to slow down time, I think you're looking for probably marijuana.
Or that thing from Robert Heinlein. He had some drug that he had conceived of that was made of just the parts of marijuana that dilate time.
Right.
That meant you could take a week vacation in an hour, but you could also cause things to explode by punching them. Right. You had to be really careful. Which doesn't make any fucking sense at all.
Yeah, but since it was a Heinlein book, it also meant that you could fuck your sister 3 or 4 times and your daughter twice in the time it would take you to just fuck your sister or your daughter.
Mm-hmm. Or in the original screenplay of Chinatown, which was written by Robert Heinlein, your sister and your daughter.
Hmm. I don't know if Heinlein ever went that far. I need to read up again on the Heinlein brain tumor thing. Or, like, the weirdest books that were all about just having sex with people you're related to and kind of started and ended abruptly, he wrote while he was suffering some kind of brain tumor.
That sounds like an urban legend.
It does, but it was on Boing Boing, so...
Oh, well. Well, you know that they're a bastion of journalistic integrity. I say that as though I've got some sort of beef with them, but it is more that I just see absolutely no reason to trust them. You know, I used to kind of not like Jenny Jardin, and then I heard her on like Jordan Jesse Go, and I was like, you know, she actually sounds kind of cool. And then every time I read something that she writes on Boing Boing, not when she's just writing about stuff, it's usually fine. But whenever she expresses an opinion, I'm like, God damn it. I remember why I didn't like this woman. Also because she's a woman and I'm a misogynist. Also, I wouldn't have read I Club You's Radio Bugbear Question if I had remembered that I Club You was a woman.
Because they're not allowed to speak.
Yeah. Only when spoken to. No, wait, that's children. Women are not afforded the same respect as children.
Well, if no men are speaking, I suppose they could volunteer a phrase or two.
And if there's nothing that currently needs cooking.
Or cleaning.
Yeah, all right, cleaning. this is pretty late in the questions, but FUM a Dragon wrote, a few radio shows back, Jake made a joke. It was something along the lines of, chitty is to kiss as bang is to bang. I think bang is exclamation point, but I don't get the rest of the joke. I don't know why, but I feel like I want to say kiss is space. No, you're going in a completely weird direction with that. The joke is that there is an Ian Fleming short story for children called Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, and then there's a movie called Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was the joke there. Comex said, hey, I wanted to ask you, how long does one content zone take? For example, I mean the first part of the underwater quest. That took like 2 years.
Yep.
The underwater stuff, there was a lot of hand-wringing about how it should work, and we ended up with a solution that satisfies no one. Like most of the things that I don't just shit out onto the page as soon as I think of them. I have a tendency to think things into the ground. You know what I meant to do was open up the Twitter to see if there were any questions in there. I feel like there's maybe some story thing. I don't know. You know, I guess you're one of the people who it doesn't bother that video games switch perspective all the time. You know, maybe it's people like you that are making it so video games will never be art.
Yeah.
Why don't you go hang out with your buddy Roger Ebert?
Ebert. It may be a rule that...
If he challenges you to a jowliness contest, there's no way you can win.
I'm working on it.
He had performance enhancing surgery to make him more jowly.
Like, everything on the bottom half of his face that wasn't jowl was removed?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I understand that it may be part of the formal structure of things that you have to establish a narrator if you're going to switch points of view, but I also think that that's not at all relevant anymore. I don't know.
Well, but
if you're watching a movie, the narrator is the camera. So if you're playing a game,
hearing you say that would feel the same way about it if that kind of thing was important to them as you feel when somebody says, look, if everybody knows what a word means, that's what the word means, so you're not allowed to be curmudgeonly about language change that bothers you, right?
I suppose. It is kind of the same thing. If it makes sense to you, then it's not a problem. The difference is that I think there's artistry to be found in discarding a rule like that and seeing how fractured you can make things before you don't understand what's going on. Yeah.
Right, but should the goal of every narrative be to fuck with things all Tarantino style? I mean,
I'm not sure that's what you're doing.
Although I guess, you know, like there were never any flashbacks before fucking Citizen Kane, right? So like in a way you do something weird that totally bucks narrative convention and it turns out to have augmented the art form in a really serious way. And then later on, you get angry because you have to talk about grapes.
And think about...
angry because he was talking about grapes. Or if it was even grapes. Beans? Cans of beans? What was he... What were those clips where Orson Welles is all going apeshit on the...
Oh, I forget.
Yeah, it was Tom Smizzle had also written, I'm a Jick, I always assume an omniscient narrator and everything but first-person written narratives. What's Scully's opinion? I think I disagree with the contention that in a novel it's okay to do it because a novel is longer, and that a video game cutscene counts as a short film.
Yeah, both of those are kind of suspect.
Video game cutscenes are extremely transitional in nature, usually. You know, except for the very first one, which is introductory in nature, and the last one, which is conclubatory. Mm-hmm. What do you call the property of being a conclusion?
Conclusive.
Yeah. Should have thought of that before I said something. Frank and Beans says, more Zeppelins, please. Oh, Frank and Beans. We were just talking about you.
To make fun of Germans and Mexicans.
Photograph of a Zeppelin. No, I was thinking that you would use Deutschmarks to buy francs, use pizza to buy beans.
Exactly.
Because, you know, the Italians, they use pizza as currency. Ah, that'll be a five of pizza. But these are beans, only they call them fagioli.
Yep. That's just what they call you.
Oh.
That's not actually a thing.
Okay. I'd like some of your pasta soup. Oh, the pasta, you fag. Yes. That's what happens to me every time I go to Olive Garden. You know, that's good, that pasta, you fagioli soup.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, much better than minestrone. The addition of beans and meat really, really add to anything, except maybe an ice cream sundae.
But then again,
although,
we don't want...
Although, it'd be an ice cream.
Yeah.
There's probably some sort of meat that would be good on an ice cream sundae. The meat of a coconut, for instance. But that's only nominally meat. Did you guys have any fun conversations on the last Monday show that you think I would have contributed to if I'd been there?
I'm sure that you would have contributed to every one of them. Yeah, Vaginal Blood Fart's name led to just a conversation in the radio chat channel about various things that come out of vaginas during menstruation. And we begged for them to stop and eventually ended up having to use mod warnings on the channel. So I blame Vaginal Blood Fart for that in its entirety. So from there we...
Why would the name Matt make people think about that kind of thing?
I don't know. I guess like a mat of blood and hair was what they were talking about.
Huh.
Yep. So from there, we forcibly changed the topic of discussion to cupcakes, and that went well.
Yeah, people were talking about cupcakes. Did you come to any conclusions?
We were kind of a split jury, because they were of the opinion that you can have too much frosting on a piece of cake or a cupcake. And while I admit that there's a theoretical upward limit to the amount of frosting I'm willing to tolerate, I haven't hit it yet.
Well, I am absolutely convinced that you can have too much frosting on a cake or whatever.
So I'm the guy.
You really want just enough to change up the texture. I feel like almost every cake and cupcake has too much frosting on it for my tastes.
And see, I want the not only the like cheap grocery store buttercream frosting and not some like whipped cream or, God forbid, the cream cheese monstrosity. Just fucking buttercream as thick as possible, a corner piece, preferably with one of the little flowers on it.
Buttercream frosting always tastes, it's got this like undertone of bitterness that like makes me feel like I'm just eating nothing but food coloring. Which is weird because food coloring doesn't really taste like anything. But yeah, I don't know. I like a cream cheese frosting. Yeah.
It's got that.
I like it.
Because they're like, it cuts the sweet with a little bit of sour. Like, no. I don't want that. I want, you know. I learned that frosting, like buttercream frosting, is like butter and lard and sugar, pretty much, and that's perfect.
I find that most sweet things, I want them to be smaller, except for donuts and candy bars. Like, I feel like I could very easily just eat 10 Twix bars. Like, right now. If there were 10 Twix bars in front of me, and I felt like I could get away with eating them all, I would just do it, because, goddamn, man, fucking Twix. How does that work? And donuts? I feel like I would always eat more donuts. but just like regular donuts, you know. Not I had good. A custard donut this weekend. That was one of the highlights.
Are you talking about an unglazed donut, just like a cake donut, or
no? Cake donuts are gross.
Okay.
Just you might as well just eat some cardboard.
So just your basic
glazed donuts, but I don't really like Krispy Kremes. Like I feel like Krispy Kremes are too doughy.
I don't know.
And it's like they don't taste nearly good enough to be like as sort of bad for you as they are.
Right. Right.
I just like a day-old Dunkin' Donuts glazed donut. I like it to be chewy, just sweet enough. Yeah, frosted donuts, those are fags. Like you. I just don't, you know, that much just concentrated, it's just like eating sugar. You know, I wouldn't just eat a sugar cube, right? It's not that I don't like sugar, it's not that I don't like things that are sweet, it's just like, I like for my flavors to be couched with some personality. I got like a half-sized dessert at dinner yesterday, and it was like still too much dessert. And it was like a slice of key. It was the sampler-sized slice of key lime pie. Yeah, it was still, you know, it was still like just a little bit more graham cracker crust than I wanted.
You would probably like. There's a place here that does. Like, their meals are kind of ridiculously over-portioned because they're French-style food with American-sized portions.
Oh, man, so that's like great.
Gigantic portions of really rich food. But then their desserts, they do dessert shots where they just, you know, fill a shot glass with, or maybe a double-sized shot glass with the mousse or the creme brulee or whatever.
That was the only good thing about Mr. Tiki. I bet you're sad that Mr. Tiki doesn't exist anymore.
Yep, that is pretty sad.
Well, you'll have to drown your sorrows in something good. But they had those. They had little. You'd get a tree that was filled with little shots of dessert.
Yeah.
So it'd be like 50 desserts. I don't know why I started gaining so much weight when we started going to San Diego. So, where did you actually get to on these questions?
Well, towards the end, we were kind of desperate for questions, so we did hit everything that's from the 17th, I feel like.
Okay.
Yeah, the whole rap battle question.
You talked about cold cock.
Yep. Talk about all temperatures of cock, really.
All kinds of cock. Oh, now you really were talking about cupcakes. Hush asks if the volcanic island will ever be available on the main map. I don't think so. On the graphically, there's not really a place for it.
So long as there's no point at which you need to go there after it's done, it seems silly to put it on there.
Yeah, I feel like for some classes there are reasons to go back, but yeah, I don't know. I wasn't 100% satisfied with the way that worked out. It, you know, it was just one of those weird things, like, you know, the way that Riff conceived of the quest working, it was, like, tied in with the pirates, and so that's how you needed to get there, and then it was like, well, there's not really a way to handle this that makes it consistent with the rest of the stuff in the game, you know, because we're all about, like, establishing traditions and then bucking them.
Like a palace.
Yeah, or like Lindsay Buckingham, who goes on a holiday road. But not to the ordinary places, because he Buckingham's tradition. Squee says, I expected you to be mad at me about this, Mr. Skullhead, but he says, so wait, poop and fart jokes are too lowbrow for KOL, but you've added a golden shower skill? I tainted Scully's content. I couldn't think, it was really desperation. Like, we'd sort of conceived of, all right, this thing gives you an attack where you spray someone with gold.
Yep.
What are we going to call that skill? And I'll take all the blame for it, because I think Scully would not have written it that way. But it was like, this is almost implemented. I just have to come up with a name for this skill.
I probably would have. We have a lot of the Spanish-named drinks, I feel like. We have a golden shower.
All right,
as one of the Spanish drinks, and a honey highway. for crying
out
loud.
What's a honey highway? Is that when you have sex with somebody in the urethra?
Yep.
Wait, really?
No. I just think that's right. The honey highway would be the vagina, and the Hershey highway would be the... Because, you know, like a vagina kind of tastes like honey.
Mr. Skillhead, have you ever been with a woman?
I've been with a beehive.
Oh. You spent your entire childhood, like, looking forward to summers when you'd go out to your grandpa's farm and eat out the beehive.
Yep.
Maybe that's why you can't taste anything anymore. No, seriously, what does Honey Highway mean? Does it really mean the vagina?
That's what I figured. I may have coined that term.
Oh, okay. Because it would seem like, you know, like if it was like Lemonade Lane, you would certainly think that it would be the urethra. But I mean, you know, that's a thing, right? Having sex with somebody's urethra.
Yeah, sticking stuff in the urethra, I think.
So it's giving you the opportunity to say, well, maybe it's a thing for you. Because your penis is so tiny. I was setting that one up.
I have too much RESPECT for you to make urethra jokes.
And I would have replied, it's not that my penis is tiny, it's that your mom's urethra is huge.
Mm.
See, I had this whole bit spiraling out in front of me. All of these possibilities. And man, you opened your mouth and they just collapsed.
Like a flame in a cupboard.
Yeah. Oh. It's just like seeing the future. On fire. Man, that was a pretty saccharine Twitter post you made the other day about watching your kid play in the yard and seeing the future unfold before you.
Yeah, that tends to happen whenever I'm watching anything, though.
Yeah? Have you given any thought to the future, Mr. Skullhead?
I had this thought, like, watching him play on his little jungle gym thing, thinking like next summer he'll be doing something very similar, but he'll be a little bit bigger, and the jungle gym will be a little bit bigger, and yeah, I found myself being introspective. Thanks for making fun of me for having feelings like a human being.
Yeah, sincerity is for queers.
That's true. There are only two things that come that out of sincerity: steers and queers. Mm-hmm. I don't see any horns on me.
Max FunCon didn't do anything for me. I was supposed to adopt the new sincerity as a lifestyle choice.
Hmm.
But in a flat-out rejection of it, I find it impossible to take it seriously. Only because I find it impossible to take any movement seriously.
Hmm. How about bowel movements? You seem to take those fairly seriously.
Yeah, they're serious business. Is it music break time?
I think so. We'll be back in about, let's say, about 15 minutes.
come true to rumor. But if you need more proof, why I'm a late bloomer. Aren't you need to know how I'm keeping up with the Joneses? Or come and find me under the shade tree and smelling the roses.
Cadillac car. The girls all say, oh, I want a star. My pockets are loaded out, I'm spending every dime. How can you say you love someone else? You know it's me all the time. You can't spy the land. The fog is so thick that you can't even spy the land. What good are you anyway if you can't stand up to some old business band? Wedding bells are ringing, the choir is beginning to sing. Yes, the wedding bells are ringing and the choir's beginning to sing. What look good in the day and night is another thing. Holding my hand, she looked into my eyes. She's holding my hand. She said, you can't repeat the past. I said, you can't. What do you mean you can't? Of course you can. Where do you come from? Where do you go? Sorry, that's another you would need to know. Well, my back is fit to the wall so long, it seemed like it's stuck. Why don't you break my heart one more time? Just for good love. I'm using all. I'm shot on gas, my motor's starting to stall. My dogs are barking, there must be someone around. My dogs are barking, there must be someone around. I put my hammer ringing, pretty baby, but the nails ain't going down. You got something to say, speaker, hold your peace. Well, you got something to say, speak now or hold your peace. If it's information you want, you can get it from the police. Politician's got on his jogging shoes. He must be running for office, got no time to lose. Sucking the blood out of the genius of generosity. Even rolling your eyes, you've been teasing me. Soul's beginning to shake. Standing by God's river, my soul's beginning to shake. I'm counting on you, love, to give me a break. I'll be leaving in the morning as soon as the dark clouds lift. Yes, I'm leaving in the morning just as soon as the dark clouds lift. I'm breaking the roof, set fire to the places of hiding here. Summer days, summer nights are gone. Summer days, summer nights are gone. I'm a place where there's still something going on.
The following morning, notes were delivered to Harry, Hermione, and Neville at the breakfast table.
They were. God damn, that's irritating. Alright, welcome back to 10 Dozen Minutes of Jake and Mr. Skullhead. Song that I wanted. Sam said that it had it. And then it was like, what? I've never heard of that. And we're back. Sorry about that. I dropped the streams for a second there, apparently. But at least you didn't hear me play the wrong song, so that's not as embarrassing as it might have been. I think my internet just hiccuped because I lost Jake too. I gotta get him back.
Yeah.
Hey, it turns out that not only did the call drop, but the streams dropped too.
Oh.
But I got it back. We're good to go.
Are we on? Are we live?
We're live.
Oh, sweet. I'm hearing echoes of my own voice in a way that's really obnoxious. Hey, it stopped.
I think that was just the lightning crashing that you were hearing because we are, in fact, live.
Really? Or perhaps it was the sound of the sanitation department in shit town.
Right. And perhaps you've been drinking too much of Lucchini's juice, whatever that is.
Perhaps it was the breaking of the dam at Otter Creek.
I think it was just some general white discussion, to be honest. You only have that.
Really?
You only have that one live album, don't you?
The only thing white in here is the white stuff that's all over you.
You're really selling the melodrama with that shit.
Isn't it just selling the drama?
I thought it was selling the melodrama. Maybe I just wanted that to be the title because I like that better.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Well, if I get all bought out of the drama, I'll have to go see The Waitress and get more. Because that's where I get my drama from, is The Waitress.
Yes.
I don't think I can think of the names of any more live songs.
Oh, I could, but then you'd be going... You'd be saying, what the hell song is that? Because the only live album you have is Throwing Copper.
Right. I alone have that album.
You're the only one who has it, and it's the only album that you have?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was only one copy of that album, and I have it. I'm actually surprised at the number of songs that I remember the names of from that album. Pretty good album.
I think of that album as half a good album and half kind of weird things that aren't songs, really.
Really?
But I
don't remember there being anything on it that was weird and not a song.
But I would put the Dam at Otter Creek firmly in that category.
Huh.
Just kind of...
I mean, had a guy playing a guitar and then a guy singing.
Just kind of muttering and then singing a little verse and then muttering some more. All I remember from that song, though, is deep enough to dive.
Because it was when they had the guy from Nickelback doing guest vocals.
right. Selling the drama, I Alone, Lightning Crashes, All Over You, and White Discussion. Which I guess White Discussion isn't really a song either. But, you know, when you get an album and you can tell what the singles are supposed to be, that one, it's like four really good songs and the rest of it's kind of weird.
You know what bothered me is that I never saw anybody else talk about the extent to which Live was influenced by REM, and it was seemed really obvious to me, and yet nobody else that I saw ever noticed it. Like, it was like, wow, this band is just this total REM wannabe band.
I'm definitely on Mental Jewelry.
I don't know. He even did the same, like, haircut progression.
Right.
They were a little more Jesus-y than REM, though.
They were never Jesus-y.
They're always, every line in every song is about Jesus.
And what I heard with the religious references were people that were really, like, deeply ambivalent about religion. Maybe I was just reading that into it.
Right, because you were looking at everything through the eyes of someone who was deeply ambivalent about religion.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. There are a few lines, I can't remember them explicitly, but I feel like there are a few lines on Throwing Copper that are like, I'm like, wow, these guys are really Jesus-y. I wonder if they're like U2, if they started out as a Christian band.
There's To Christ to the Cross and To Me the Chair, I Will Sit and Earn the Ransom from Up Here. But there's a song like, The Greatest of Teachers Wouldn't Hesitate to Leave You Here by Yourself Chained to Fate. It's like, even Jesus would totally fuck you over, but I wouldn't. That's not something that somebody super Christian is going to say.
Really? So you don't think, like, John Lennon saying we're bigger than Jesus meant that he was super Christian?
I know, John Lennon was totally super Christian.
I do not believe that what they said was actually at all controversial.
No, what he said was that they had bigger name recognition among 15-year-old girls. That, like, girls would rather listen to Beatles albums than go to church, which was totally true.
I mean, in what I saw, it was more of, like, just a statement about mass media. Like, that how they, you know, more people know about them than knew about Jesus. And, I mean, part of it is because there's, what, 100 times as many people?
Right.
Like, I don't know. You know, it seemed like it was like, I think it's funny to just, like, make fun of John and Lennon. I'm bigger than Jesus. But, like, I don't know. Like everything that everybody gets their panties in a twist about, I just don't think it is anything.
I was impressed that my mom, like, everybody else in her Christian circle kind of wrote off the Beatles after that. Because, oh, they were mocking the Lord. Can't have that. And she said, you know, I don't think he meant anything bad by it, and it's probably true that they were more popular than Jesus among that demographic. I was like, right on, Mom. Right on. If you didn't have horrible taste in having sex with my friends, you would be flawless.
Huh. your mom's a cool lady. You know, I kid, but I like your mom.
I like your mom, too.
Somebody made that video for the MC Frontalot song, and they photoshopped themselves. I don't know. I can't tell if they photoshopped themselves into a picture of me and my mom, or if they photoshopped, if they just took a picture with my mom.
No, that's Sparemeister.
Yeah.
He's been to a ton of cons.
Has he?
Yeah, he took that picture probably a year ago, or...
It looked... I don't know. Yeah, it had
to be. Did you tell by the pixels?
My mom's hair is especially gray. It just keeps getting grayer. I feel kind of bad. I feel kind of bad, speaking of my mom. Because when I was younger, I was always really down on, like, dyeing your hair when it gets gray.
Yeah.
Right? And, and I used to talk to her. I'm like, Mom, please, when your hair starts turning gray, please don't dye your hair. This is ridiculous, you know? But, like, now, I was like, she probably wants to, and, like, there's really nothing wrong with it. I don't know. Maybe I've just gotten more shallow, or maybe I've just gotten to the point where I realize that, like, it doesn't matter how I feel about the practice. If it is something that would make her happier, it is not something that I should, like... You know, and I don't know if it is me saying that all those years that is making her not do it, but, like, I don't know. What do you think? What do you think about dyeing your hair if you're a woman and your hair goes gray?
I think you might as well. When you, it actually starts to look strange at a certain age, though. Like, Jess's grandmother, she doesn't actually dye her hair, but her hair is as like the same color as it was when she was 30. And it's weird looking. It's like, she's an old lady. Why doesn't she have gray hair? She must dye it, but she doesn't.
She must dye it. She has a diet rich in other people's hair.
Everybody knows if you eat enough hair, it'll change the color of your own hair.
Well, you cough it up and stick it to your head.
Oh, that's how that should work. Okay.
Yeah. Or you stick it to the man. Bye. Yeah.
I usually just move aside and let the man go through.
Producing your own hair bubbles instead of buying them from Walmart.
my wife is on her summer kick of wanting to clip her hair really close. Not like shave her head, but... have about as much hair as I have, you know, like a half inch of hair or so. And it was one of her good female friends just did it, and so she's like, I would love to do this, but I won't, because I know that you don't like it. It's like, goddamn right. There's one thing that I ask out of a relationship with a woman, and that's that she have more hair than I do. And that's not that's really hard.
That limits my options somewhat.
That's true.
Because I have a resplendent mane. Or perhaps I am resplendent in Maine.
If we included, like, volume, for sheer volume, the body hair, you and I would probably tie. Because you're not a particularly hirsute dude.
That's maybe true. In fact, my doctor observed that just the other day. You're relatively hairless, he said.
Wasn't that new NXS song? Oh, no, that was Elegantly Wasted.
Yes.
Relatively hairless would have been far better.
You're thinking of Earwax Vagina. Sorry about that, by the way. I'm really sorry that I told Riff to start... Like, I said, hey, Riff, start using the Twitter. And then he starts using the Twitter like regular people use the Twitter, not like we use the Twitter.
Right.
I think I'm going to post 30 things in a row that are the same joke, and then I'm going to fucking reply to somebody, which I hate. God, that's never happened before. I would not have allowed that. If he had asked me permission, I would have said, no, change in the password. And not giving the new one to you. That's what I would have said. Ugh, God, I hate Twitter replies. I can't wait for that to fall off the end of the archive. But now it's going to be in the fucking Library of Congress. The Library of Congress.
The Library of Congress.
People who browse the Library of Congress. On days when the wind is blowing in a particular direction, I'm very easily distracted while I sit at my computer at home, because on certain days the flight path for the airport leads right across the sky outside my window. So I keep looking, like, what was that? What was that? Did my tree grow back? My tree's not going to grow back. It's dead. I hauled 1,000,000 pounds of it from one side of my yard to the other. I'm going to make a table. I've got this big slice of tree trunk. And I've figured out, I think, how to make a little table out of it.
Because you already have a table that's kind of that rough-hewn thing, right?
Do I?
The table in the back, I remember that as being the kind of, like, benches looking like logs cut in half.
No, it's not. They're like just sort of unfinished timber. They're like big, you know, it'd be like, I don't know, square telephone poles.
Yeah.
But no. You know, it's going to be messy, and it's super heavy, and it's all kind of asymmetric. But that would be appropriate.
Yeah.
Yatsu Fusa says, would Jick like to respond to the statement that Talisman of Boo doesn't do anything in terms of in-game mechanics besides using the container slot? No. Let's see. Fantasy writing, Volcanic Island, Mall, fart jokes. Linguini Lad says, I was looking at my ascension history, and I don't understand why my Cotton Candy Carney is listed as my favorite familiar for my 8th run when it was only 24%. Shouldn't the familiar I used the other 76% of the time be listed? If it was a single familiar, then yes. But, you know, it's just the highest. You can have there are so many familiars that you could have a 1% favorite familiar. Occasional JD says, Jick, the other night while drunkenly prowling across my beat, I discovered a doner kebab store. I bought 2 garlic lambs and thought of you. Sweet. My goal is for everyone everywhere to think about me every time they get drunk and make love to their wives. FUM a Dragon says, dressed as a harem girl, I got that you're going to carry that weight adventure in the harem. It seems perfectly logical to ask, what are you doing out of uniform? But it doesn't seem logical to not ask, why are you dressed as a harem girl? The Nob Glob. Boom goes the dynamite. Do the Nobgoblin Elite regularly cross-dress? Yes. Yeah. Everyone in KOL regularly cross-dresses because transvestites are people just like the rest of us. How dare you suggest that not everyone is a cross-dresser, you insensitive prick.
Well, the other thing is that Nobgoblin military, like any military, are very tuned into what they're ordered to do. This particular guard is ordered to make sure that everyone's wearing a uniform. He doesn't give a shit what you're wearing if it's not the uniform. It's a very binary thing with him. Either yes, uniform, or no, not uniform.
So, yeah. You're better at that than I am. Lotech says, didn't want to get too specific in the forum post, but how about a moat? Underwater skills in the Ascension game? Yes, please. Just a moat around every zone. Yeah, we should just make an underwater version of every zone in the game.
And then just flood the kingdom for a couple of days.
Gina Sage, Ace Attorney, says, hey, Riff, I was wondering if you checked out Unskippable on The Escapist. It's sort of Mystery Science Theater 3000 for video game cutscenes. Recently, they started doing the cutscene from that Deadly Premonitions game, so maybe you want to check it out. I feel like I watched a couple of those, and they were kind of funny. It seemed like there were some dudes who were really, really trying to make a popular video. So they just made a whole bunch of different kinds of videos until they finally landed on something that The Escapist picked up and ran regularly. I don't know. Oh, Frank and Beans writes, any comments about the new Mark Twain / Sam Clemens autobiography? I'm pretty excited about that.
I am excited about that, too.
I've been on a kind of a biography kick. I just finished at VBF's recommendation. I read Groucho and Me. Groucho Marx's autobiography. It was pretty good. It was more funny. It was more like observational comedy than it was like, you know, sort of tell-all. I guess you don't normally do a tell-all about yourself, but... I can't tell whether he fucked a lot of women or not. I think maybe he did. He says a few things that is like, you know, boy, I sure do like banging young girls. And then he says a few things that are like, everybody only have sex when you're married. He didn't really say that. He says that a lot of people get married because they want to have sex.
Yeah.
Implying that there's no premarital sex. But maybe he just meant for other people and not him. Because for celebrities, everything's premarital sex everywhere.
Everywhere.
Royal Tonberry got a master's in computer science. Congratulations, Royal Tonberry.
I will start calling him Master Tonberry. Nobody calls me Master Skullhead, even though I have a degree.
Master Knight.
Not even the girls in my dungeon.
Yeah. That must really chafe your ass even more than the chaps.
Well, I just use chapstick before I put the chaps on.
Huh.
That's what that shit is for, right?
Yeah. Greasing up your ass.
Ranger Bill Double X says, KOLCon 3, 4, and 5 had I Was There items, but 6 didn't. Is there any plan for such an item for 7? I think we still intend to do one, right?
Yeah, there's supposed to be one for 6. Yeah, I just haven't done it yet. And prizes for LARP winners. Woo! I don't know why. I don't know why it is so hard for me to get around to doing stuff that is just like some cosmetic trinket. I think it is just because I like forget to do it, and then the pressure mounts because it's been so long.
Mm.
You know, it's one of those things like, oh, I'm sorry, I haven't called you in 6 months. It's just that after I hadn't called you in a month, I was embarrassed, so I didn't call you for 2 months, and then I didn't call you for 3 months. You know. Yeah. I'm finding it hard to concentrate on this radio show because I'm really hungry.
I should have had a banh mi. You should have had a bon appetit.
I should have had a throne of bone, a magic card that allows me to spend 1 mana to gain 1 life every time a black spell is cast.
Nerd.
I've been playing a lot of Agricola lately, and boy, is it fucking fun.
I'll have to check that out.
I can wholeheartedly and whole-acidly recommend it, Mr. Skullhead.
Should I give myself a quick schooling in it by the time I get to Comic-Con?
Maybe.
Should I arrive prepared to play it with you?
Yeah, even if you didn't, I feel like it is a game that reading the instructions just leaves you baffled, but playing it, like having somebody who knows how to play it explain it to you, it's totally simple.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was my experience when I first played it. There was a dude there who was real into it. Man, it's fun. I feel like I have already played it more than I have played most of the board games that I own, despite having only owned it for a couple of weeks.
I've been spending a lot of time playing that tower defense game, Cursed Treasure, Don't Touch My Gems.
Mm-hmm.
Have you played that yet?
I have, yeah. I'm surprised that you got so excited about it. I didn't think you were normally a tower defense kind of guy.
I played the only other one that I really played was the I don't know, it just seemed like the bargain basement generic tower defense game on Kongregate, where you're attacked by like little icons for fax machines and shit.
Oh, yeah, that sounds horrible.
But yeah, it just seemed like the generic version of tower defense. So this is the first one I really played, but yeah,
the super, Harvard classics super are really like desktop tower defense and Gemcraft.
Isn't Bloons tower defense one that everybody seems to like? But I tried to play that and didn't get it at all.
Yeah, everybody does, and I don't really like it. The graphics are terrible, and that bothers me, which is weird. It doesn't feel polished. Like, the graphics of Bloons Tower Defense are probably no worse than the graphics of Desktop Tower Defense, but it doesn't, they just, Desktop Tower Defense feels better. Bubble Tanks Tower Defense is pretty fun, also.
This one, yeah, I understood about halfway through my run through it, which is still going on, but I've understood now how World of Warcraft could ruin a marriage. Because I was sitting there playing, like, in the middle of my 50 waves of guys. I got towers requesting that I upgrade them, and so, you know, I'm supposed to leave the house in 5 minutes. And I'm desperately trying to get through all of those waves before that happens. I know if my wife walks in and sees that I'm tower defensing instead of, like, dressing the baby or, like, packing stuff or, like, putting my pants on, she's going to be super pissed, but I just couldn't stop. And I thought, thank God that, unlike World of Warcraft, this has an end. Yeah.
Huh. What did you have to... Were you, like, field dressing the baby like it was a gun?
No, just like a baby was in pajamas and needed to be in people clothes to go out among the people.
Mm. You didn't, like, add some stuffing? Is that called dressing something? Can you, like, dress a hen? okay. Now I've managed to make myself laugh just by saying the word hen. My threshold for getting the giggles is getting lower and lower, and that's got to be frustrating for everyone who talks to me. Why is the word hen so funny?
I don't know. How about the quote, "A liberated woman is a plucked hen"? Is plucked hen even funnier?
I don't know. That seems like it might be insulting towards women, so I'm into it. Could you explain that?
I'm not sure. It was a quote that popped up in Bloom County, I think, way back in the day. And it stuck with me for some reason.
So we got this new roommate in the house, and so I had to get all the shit out of the room that became his room, because it's, like, that was just the sort of catch-all room for shit in it. So I had to put all my books on a bookshelf after years of them being in boxes. And I found a collection of Bloom County that I remember buying at Walmart for, like, $1 when I was in high school, despite never having read Bloom County. I remember it being pretty good when I read it then, but I don't remember anything about it. That was a great story.
I think... So a couple of years ago, Berkeley Breathed or Breathed was at Comic-Con, and I met him and said, "Why won't you re-release Bloom County?" And he said, "No, I don't think that it's topical anymore, and kids these days, they don't know about stuff, and they wouldn't understand all the Reagan jokes and stuff." Like, yeah, but people like me, I was a kid back then, and I didn't get the jokes back then, and now I would get it, and it would be awesome. And so, like, a year after that, they started cranking out the complete Bloom County volume.
No, it was all due to you. You should get royalties.
I'd like to think so. I'm glad to see that they're doing them in, like, reasonably priced single volumes instead of, like, $100 slabo book.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll be acquiring those.
I always prefer the $100 slab of book because it like, can you get the whole thing for less than $100 buying it in volumes?
Maybe, but maybe not. But I think there's a planned 5-volume set, and they're like $20 a piece. But yeah. I'm gonna spend price, $20 price on a book equivalent. More than I'm gonna yeah. spend $100.
I mean, I guess that's the problem. Then you just do more of them, right? Like, what got me to actually read The Sandman was a giant volume of just all of it that was expensive and big, because I couldn't deal with spending $20 to get 10 minutes worth of comic book to read, right? And somehow that scales up in a way that doesn't make any sense at all.
The thing about I have the Calvin and Hobbes Treasury, and I haven't read it all the way through, because it's too big, it's too heavy to balance on your lap, say, and read it on the john, or even to sit on the couch and read it is actually kind of hard. You have to, like, rest it on a table, and yeah, I'm super glad that I have it, but I haven't.
So I made the same complaint about the Far Side collection, that I hadn't read it because it was too unwieldy to read on the toilet. And for Christmas, Hot Stuff got me a music stand to put in front of the toilet to rest a tome on to read.
Excellent.
So and I use it like every day. That was just like, you know, probably cost $20, $30. Super thoughtful gift. He actually put it in front, so I would know what it was for. He put it in front of the toilet, wrapped up.
Aww.
It's just, it's adorable. I know. It's the sweetest thing in the world, and God bless him.
Yeah, for those who aren't familiar with our gift-giving predilections, every year I remember Jake's birthday and forget to do anything about it, and he forgets my birthday. And at Christmas, he gets me whatever ridiculous bauble or gadget or trinket is the desire of my heart at that point, and I go and buy him the most interesting-looking building set I can find. So I feel like we have a good rhythm.
Yep. Yeah, I've been. You know, I had a good gift-giving, gift exchange record with Riff, but then I've just been running out of things that I see that I'm like, oh, Riff would like that.
Hmm.
Used to be that I always had a little bit of a backlog of them, but now I don't know. Hey, have you played the new Super Mario Brothers video game system?
What?
The Super Mario Galaxy 2 came out like yesterday or the day before, right?
Yeah, I didn't realize that was what you're talking about. Well, because there's that Flash game that's the Super Mario crossover thing.
All right, yeah.
I played that. Yeah, we actually spent a decent chunk of today playing that. And it's super good. It's a weird thing to complain about, but the way that you get to the levels is nowhere near as good as the first one. But the levels themselves are fine, so...
I kind of hated the way that you got to the levels in the first one.
Oh, so you'll like this then, because I liked that there wasn't really a map screen. You just kind of ran around that giant space station.
Yeah, Jesus Christ, do I want a map screen when I'm playing something like that.
Oh, you'll love the shit out of this then.
Okay, good. So maybe Super Mario Galaxy 2 is like Super Mario Galaxy, except I will like it. So the Idle Thumbs guys were talking about how, like, one of their impressions was Super Mario Galaxy is a really good game, but the first level is not very good.
Hmm.
And I think that I only played the first level, which made me kind of want to go back and try it again. But then I'm like, I know myself. I'm not going to start from a save from 2 years ago. I will play the first level again, and then I will lose interest at exactly the same moment that I lost interest the first time. So maybe I should just play the second one.
Yeah, I think you should. Because I was actually a little bit disappointed when, you know, here you are on a giant ship that's shaped like Mario's head, and when you go stand at the wheel, it takes you to a very traditional-looking map screen instead of pulling you up into the galaxy with the little pull star thing. And I was disappointed that the, what's her name? Rosalinda? Or whatever her name was, the lady in Galaxy didn't come back?
Yeah, I didn't care about that shit at all. I remember my experience of Super Mario Galaxy was like, all right, now I'm on some kind of space station,
Rosalina.
I guess. Where am I supposed to go? I don't know. I'm going to
Well,
I'm over here, I'm going to not play video games
anymore. There are a bunch of pipes on the space station, then, and they light up and provide a path to the room that you're supposed to go in to get to the levels. Like,
oh, do they?
Yeah.
Well, dude, I was playing with my eyes closed.
It's not so
hard.
But, yeah, I was disappointed to see her not there. There was a weird kind of darkness to that little wraparound story of her, like, flying through space all by herself in a space station because her parents were something. Like, a story that didn't have a very good resolution or any resolution at all. So I was kind of hoping that story would be continued. She kicks ass in Mario Kart, though.
I see.
For sure.
I just didn't care about any of that shit on a space station. I'm like, why is there a space station? What the fuck? Like, what? Like, I mean, I get it, because we're in a galaxy. You know, right? But everything is in a galaxy. I like it when Mario has to jump on things to rescue a princess. That's what I like.
Mm-hmm.
Although, you know, it didn't bother me in, like, Mario RPGs that you weren't, you know, trying to rescue the princess.
Well, you were still trying to rescue the princess.
Eventually the princess is, like, playable. So, you don't, you know, you rescue her early on.
No, what I mean is...
you always have to rescue the princess at some point.
In Galaxy...
Dumbass manages to get captured.
In Galaxy and Galaxy 2, the whole quest
is... also rescuing the princess?
Is to rescue the princess, yeah.
Which who's the space whore?
She's the woman who runs the space station. And my guess is that everybody who played the game had the same thought that I did, which was, why would you bother rescuing the princess when you can hang out with Rosalina? So they had to cut her out because she was upstaging Princess Peach. Because let's be honest, there's not much there with Princess Peach. She sends you one-ups in the mail, I guess. That's nice. But she just is always asking you to come to her castle and eat some cake. And when you get there, she's away with a lizard.
Rosalina just looks just like Princess Peach?
No, not at all.
There's some like manga style sexy drawings of her.
Right.
Yeah, looks like there's a lot of sexy drawings of her. She looks fucking exactly like Princess Peach.
She looks nothing like Princess Peach.
She looks exactly like Princess Peach.
She looks nothing like Princess Peach.
All right.
For contrast, look at a picture of one and then look at a picture of the other. And then you'll see some contrast. Okay.
I just tried that, and they look alike.
Yeah, you'll enjoy Super Mario Galaxy 2 then, because they just cool. They get you right into it. I was actually the Yoshi mechanism is super annoying to learn, but then it's fun to play with. To eat something with Yoshi, you point the pointer, the little cursor at what you want to eat, and pull the trigger.
Oh, seriously?
Yep. So,
man, I'm prejudiced by having judged that to be gay as shit.
It's worth picking up, though, because then you can run one direction and eat stuff behind you and around you. Like, so once you pick it up, it has a reason for existing, I think, but I'm used to just playing with the pointer not meaning anything for Galaxy, and so, like, running up to an enemy, like, oh, quick, I better push the Z button to eat this thing, like, oh, I should have the pointer pointed at the screen and at that thing. But, you know, yeah, I picked that up in a couple of hours, and after that, smooth sailing. It's worth it. Stick with it. It's cool.
Okay. I do have to say, though, that I like, in my Mario games, just having a series of levels to solve.
Yeah. The levels are solid. I will give them that.
There seems to be a big contingent of people on the internet who are really excited about drawing pictures of Rosalina with her underwear visible.
Hmm. She was kind of a little injection of sex appeal into the Mario series. I have to admit.
Well, I'll be in my bunk.
All right.
No, wait. I meant, this is totally bunk.
Hmm. You didn't mean you would be in your bunker awaiting the nuclear holocaust?
Yeah.
The nuclear.
I'll be watching Archie Bunker.
Hmm.
In my nuclear holocaust. Holocostume? Do you think anybody's ever had a holocostume party?
Wow. Not yet.
No, a holocaust tomb party. Like you go into a mass grave.
Sure.
From the holocaust and have a party. Yeah. Yeah, it's not as offensive as you were thinking.
Yeah, either way, that's fantastic.
Griffin Slade says, have you all played any of the new Sam and Max season? No, those games have come out about 10 times as fast as I am going to play them, and so I've completely given up on ever trying to. Like, I don't know. I like them, and they are fun, but I just, like, when I think about the Sam and Max games by Telltale, I just get this, like, fuck, I am way behind on my homework feeling. And then feeling that way about video games, like, just puts a bad taste in my mouth. And I don't know how to feel about that. Because I think that definitely says more about me than about what they're doing. I can't imagine wanting to play those games frequently enough that I would be, like, excited about the new one coming out or whatever. They've gone. I went to a talk that Dave Grossman, the like creative director for Telltale, was like one of the guys that worked at LucasArts back in the day. He was one of the writers on Monkey Island, that kind of shit. and he was talking about how they learned a lot, talking about what they've learned over the course of developing the seasons, and one of them things was to like make the games easier, basically. Like, if they sense that you're floundering, you know, like, if you've changed, if you're moving around a lot and not figuring out what to do, they'll just, like, sort of naturally in the game world start hinting at stuff. They'll, like, have Max say something about a thing, or they'll just have you, your head turn to look at it as you get near it or something, like, whatever it is that you're supposed to interact with. And I feel like maybe if it was the kind of thing where I could play one of those games in a single sitting, then maybe I could catch up. Like, maybe I could feel like, well, I could get through one of these a week, you know, and they'll be cool, and I'll see them, and it'll be fun. And then I'll be excited when the new ones come out. But it's like, as it stands now, I think of them as being a thing that it's like, well, you know, maybe if I play this as often as I feel like playing it, I'll get through one a month, and then I will never, ever catch up.
Yeah.
That's how I feel.
I haven't played any of them because I don't play games on the PC that take longer than an hour or so.
What? You played Portal. Didn't you play Portal all the way through?
Yeah, I did play Portal all the way through. And on the strength of Portal, I started playing Half-Life, and I played for half an hour.
Yeah.
And that was enough.
Because you thought that life was a synonym for an hour?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Fineldar says, "Hey douchebags, namely Riff, I have a story to tell." Well, Riff's not here, but I'll listen to your story. "Early tonight I was riding my bike, and I stupidly went in a straight line until I wanted to stop riding my bike, which of course meant I was only halfway done and 2 hours left, so it got dark and I got lost. I was listening to a recording of an older radio show, and Riff started whistling, which describes how you're feeling all the time while Jack and Hot Stuff talk. The whistling sounded like it came from right behind me, and it scared the shit out of me." Riff is always behind me during the radio shows, and he frequently scares the shit out of me. Kitchwing of Angmar says, "It's 1 after 109. I've got a great song, 2 after 69, Maggie May, Maggie May." I think Kitchwing of Angmar is hitting the sauce pretty hard these days.
A little bit. These days.
That doesn't make any sense.
I think every time I get drunk with Kitch, I remind him of how much he reminds me of Bill Nighy's character from Love Actually.
Uh-huh.
And I can't remember if he ever is happy with that or is pissed off about that. So, and then I can't remember if I've ever done it before, so I keep doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But that guy totally reminds me of Bill Nighy in Love Actually.
Oh, yeah. You know, Love Actually is the ultimate romantic comedy.
It is. It is indeed.
Rockstar Supernova writes, "To get the free radio regalia, do we have to listen to a special show, or do we just ask for it? Couldn't find an answer in the forums." I think that ship has pretty much sailed at this point, right?
Yeah, I don't know if whole lot of those are getting given out these days.
The original set, I believe, is completely all gone.
Yeah, that's been gone for a long time. We famously raffled off the last full outfit of it to benefit the radio several years ago, so it would be pretty a dick move of us to put any more out there.
Yep. iClub You says, "When Jick said, 'When you die gloriously in battle,' the first thing I thought was, 'You might be a Klingon.' Nerd." She wrote that, not me. I mean, I didn't write it. I said it. She wrote it. I said it. Has there ever been a Star Trek nerd version of Jeff Foxworthy?
No, but there should be.
Ugh, reminding me again that my mom has terrible taste in comedians.
You know, when I was a teenager, I thought Jeff Foxworthy was funny.
Mm-hmm.
But
who's that racist guy with the puppets? My mom likes that guy.
Jeff Dunham?
Yeah.
I used to think he was funny when I was 15, too. You know, but, like, we lived in town.
Was he even around when you were 15?
Yeah, the whole, like, jalapeno on a steak guy. We had a thing that we had taped off of television with him. It was like a half hour.
Remember when that was a thing?
Yeah, we had like a VHS tape that we played until the tracking got all wonky on it. But like, there weren't any minorities in our town that we knew of, so it didn't occur to me to think that he was, you know, what he was doing would be offensive to somebody who was Hispanic because
I never
encountered him. Yeah,
some of our best friends were Mexican.
Some of my best friends were Mexican.
You were hanging out with the whiteys.
Yeah. Well, how many Mexican people were there in Prescott? There's Roy.
Right.
Like, he only counts for like half.
There was Andy Ochoa and his family.
That's true. He was before my time.
I remember the first time I went to his house, and he was like, "You should lock the doors of your car. There's a lot of Mexicans in this neighborhood." So, yeah, and I only like the self-effacing Mexicans that are more racist against Mexicans than white people.
I find it. I like to tell people that, you know, to this day I have a little bit of trouble getting into a conversation with somebody who is black, because not because I have any like predispositions about black people, but that in Prescott the black community was Angela, Richard, Jason, and Ada. So it like, and Angela.
Wait, did you just name four real people?
Yeah.
Wow, because I knew three black people in Prescott, and none of them were named in that.
Oh, everybody I knew in high school that was black, those four people. And two of them were adopted kids, so their parents weren't even black. So, like, the entire black community that I was aware of, four people.
And that's why it's hard for you to talk to them?
Yeah, I just don't have that much experience.
It's also why it's hard for me to talk to people named Zyler.
Yeah. Well, like,
because I only knew one guy named Zyler, and I have very little experience talking to dudes named Zyler.
For a long time, it was difficult for me to figure out how to talk to gay people. That, you know, there were tons of gay people in Prescott, but, you know, they were deeply, deeply closeted when they were in high school. So, like, I don't know what, you know, what topics are going to be problematic, where the common interests are, you know.
Well, for you and a gay person, the common interests are in sucking dudes' dicks.
Right, right. Once I figured that out,
for you and a black person, the common interests are sucking the glass dick.
Oh, that's right.
And with that racist comment, let's get the fuck off the air.
Let's get the fuck off the air as quickly as a Mexican gets over the border. I got nothing. All right, good night, everybody.